I've had a lot more coffee than you guys have.
Yeah. That is my good friend, colleague, and co-host of the Salesforce Admins Podcast, Mike Gerholt. I'm Josh Burke, your host of the Salesforce Developer Podcast. And here on the podcast, you'll hear stories and insights from developers for developers. Today, however, we do something a little bit different. Mike and Jillian of the Salesforce Admins Podcast invited me over for a little remote coffee and so that we could catch up on things that we've been working on. There's also a little twist towards the start of the episode, so listen for that. I'm sure I might hear about it on social media later, but we will get back to coffee with the peeps. And it's noon here, so I'm slow today. I'm catching up.
I'm having my midday coffee. It's the midday coffee that, you know, I grew up rural where my grandpa was a farmer. There was always coffee in the house. Always. 110 outside, 80% humidity. You come inside for a cup of coffee.
Yeah. If I wasn't a coffee drinker before college, the psychology department at Wesleyan would have converted me into one. I have seen gas stations less equipped to handle giving out free coffee to people. They had like two industrial sized brewmasters that were working like around the clock. It was the liquid fuel for the, you know, the 8 a.m. cognitive psychology talk type thing. So, yeah, my midday coffee is getting me out of the morning, basically.
Yeah, Jillian, well, I went with the green tea today. I'm a tea drinker. So I went with green tea. It doesn't have quite as much caffeine as like a Earl Grey or an English breakfast. But, you know, I've got two little, so I've already been up for like 6 hours. So we're good.
Since yesterday.
Right.
Yeah. Sleep time.
Is it still Sunday? It feels like it's Sunday now.
Right. Yeah.
So it's a blur's day after the pandemic. Yep. Absolutely.
Blur's day. Yes.
Yeah. I learned recently that... What is it? Green oolong and black tea all come from the same leaf.
Is it like just like the maturation of like the leaf or something?
It's like how long that they are left out in the sun or something like that. And then they crop them at different times.
Well, there you go. We learn. It's an educational podcast, not just about Salesforce, everyone.
Nope. I stand firmly with Ted Lasso and his opinion of tea. And I think it looks like yard clippings inside of a cup.
Well, you have a lot of yard clippings to work with, so you can make a lot of tea.
I could tee up the whole neighborhood.
Well, let's tee up this episode, Mike.
Sure. So
that's the opening right there.
That's the whole opening. It's done. Every episode's going to start this way with 3 minutes of meandering around while we wait for the caffeine to kick in.
Like it.
Let's talk about, it's May. We're heading into summer. What are some of the things you've been working on so far since people probably last saw us at Trailblazer DX?
That feels like a year ago.
It does feel like
it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
That whole timeline thing on Facebook is wrong.
Well, it's summer. It's time for the release. I've been knee deep in release preparation content and our Learn More campaign, which is basically the way that we prepare everyone for the release. And so release readiness live, all of that, going through all the release notes and the highlights. And yeah, so go ahead, ask me any question about the release. I can try and fake an answer to it.
I did get asked a question about the release at the Washington, D.C. user group.
Oh.
Do you remember what it was?
Did you?
Yeah. What was it? Give me the highlights of the release.
Oh.
Well, we got lots of content that I've been helping writing on for all of that.
Wait a little while. Jillian Bruce will walk you right through it.
This is the last part of the user group meeting that's keeping you from happy hour. I'll be brief. It's an amazing release. Next question.
I like it. Do you remember when you could read through the whole release notes for the entire company? And it was 50 pages?
Yeah.
It's what now, 500 or something?
I remember I read all of the summer release notes for summer 08 while riding in a car that was being driven to Chicago, and I got done in time.
Wow. Anyway, sorry, Jillian, I jumped in on you.
Oh, no, that's totally fine. I was actually going to share some legit information about the release if people want to find out more. No shade in that comment. So if you are listening to this podcast, then you can definitely right now go check out On Demand Admin Release Readiness Live. You can also check out Developer Admin whatever. Developer Release Readiness Live as well, both on demand. You can find them. And that's a great way to kind of get the highlights. We got a bunch of product managers on there and evangelists and advocates talking about what they think is important for you to understand. So got that. We got the Learn More blogs, and there's good stuff. I personally am most excited about horizontal alignment on dynamic fields. And it sounds super nerdy, but like, imagine you can just control exactly where fields line up on your page, no matter how much text is in like the field above or below it. It's the little things that matter. So my inner controlled freak is very happy about that.
It is strange how like you read something and you're like, well, that's just boring. And then you see it and you're like, that's really cool. Like, I didn't realize how cool that was. Like, somebody had to sell me on like custom property editors, because on paper they just sound, I can barely even think of as to why somebody would find it exciting. And then it's like, oh, you can write totally custom interfaces for people to go in and configure your components, and they're like really cool interfaces. I'm like, it's a shame that they can't fit all of that into a title. I guess it might help sell it better.
Well, that's why there's people like us that are supposed to fill that gap, right, Josh?
Right. This is true. Including my upcoming episode with Alicia Taylor on custom property editors.
Yeah, Alba pinged me about that this release. She's like, are you going to talk about this in Admin Release Readiness Live? I'm like, no, it doesn't sound like admin at all. She's like, actually, it is. And here's why. I was like, oh, well, then yes, we will absolutely talk about that. No problem. Thank you, Alba.
Yeah, because it's weird, because it's developer centric tech, I guess, but it's all admin facing. Like, that's the end goal, is to make things easier and more powerful. Like, you don't have to like, you know, guess what a proper date field looks like, kind of thing. You can actually just pull up a proper date picker. And it's also one of the things that you kind of scratch your head about, that's like, wow, why did it take us this long to do it? And I'm sure now if Alicia's listening to this, she's like, because it's really hard, Josh. We have engineers who have to fix this kind of stuff.
I remember for the longest time, one of the big requests from the community was an address block like we have on accounts and contacts. Yeah. And you could never create that. So if you create a custom object, you always had to like text field it to death.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can create that. Came back a long time ago.
Yeah.
Again, it's these little things that make a huge difference. This is why we have an admin-focused release readiness live session focused on these little things that we care about.
I never thought, until I had to use another product, name not mentioned, of how much I would love the fact that when you could sort something, it stayed sorted that way every time you pulled up that list view. And I was like, but this Salesforce just does that natively. And you're like, yeah, this product doesn't.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah.
And then the question is, why aren't we using Salesforce for that thing? Well, we try.
Yeah. We ask that question a lot. We do. And give us credit for continuing to ask that question. Maybe one of these days we'll get an answer. Not sure.
I don't know. It's been a lot of years, Josh. It's been a lot of years.
What's the definition of madness again? I forget. It's at the tip of my tongue. Right.
Insanity. So Jillian's been working on release, Josh.
Yes.
Sounds like you've been diving into stuff.
Well, two kind of big things. First of all, most people probably have not heard that the three of us are now proper coworkers. Happy to hop over and join admin evangelism to talk, you know, nerdy tech. And speaking of nerdy tech, I don't know if either of you have heard about this AI stuff and, I don't know, ChatGPT or something. And then Mark tweeted something and now there's Einstein in front of it. So, yeah, that's been a whole thing. And it's kind of, for me, it's sort of funny because I was starting to get into this bit by playing around with Midjourney and doing like generative art AI stuff, kind of just as a goofy, you know, what can I create with this kind of thing. And so that's actually here I'm trying to like learn up on like large language models and how they've advanced from neural networks and blah, 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 blah. And what the community actually keeps asking me is like, how do I create an image of my mascot? I'm like, oh, okay, we can talk about that too.
The important things, it's priorities.
Yeah. So, yeah, we got a lot of content coming out on that. We've got a blog post in the works that's just kind of talking about the basics and what, you know, admins can kind of do with it now. And then we were getting some guests and some expert panels up and running. So, you know, watch the space for more. This is to me, this is interesting because I have chased a lot of technology often at, you know, Salesforce's behest. And every now and then there's something like IoT, which gets really popular for a while. And that kind of like blends into the background. Like I firmly believe IoT has kind of become an aspect of our lives. It's just that it's on our phones and it's on our smart machines. And it's just, we've just sort of accepted it. And then now we're just talking to our cars and stuff. And then there's stuff like blockchain, which is all like a hot minute. And then we start talking about the environment and all this other stuff. But generative AI, and so every now and then it's like a flash in the pan, right? Like it's really exciting for a while, but then we sort of move on. I'm becoming a believer in this stuff, and I think it is actually going to be around to stay. And I think it will be interesting to see where our product line goes in the next year and kind of where it's going to start impacting people's lives. It's going to be interesting. I believe it's going to be positive, but y'all know I'm something of an optimist too. No. We'll see.
I thought you're not allowed to talk about AI unless you're a catastrophist. I thought that was the rule.
There's a cottage industry out there for that. The scary thing about the catastrophe speakers to me, though, is some of them are just insanely like smart people. So I don't want to ignore that because like there's something there, but it's almost like they're so smart about it, they don't know how to talk to other people about why they think AI could be a disaster. So we'll see. And maybe in, you know, 3 years, we're all robots and this podcast will sound very different.
It'll be created by AI.
Oh, man. So I don't want to know what an AI Jillian sounds like. That would be scary.
Probably sounds just like you. I saw a TikTok the other day where there was a AI that could replicate any, you know, you just fed it like an audio clip of whomever.
Yeah.
And it would replicate the sound.
Yeah. I think that's one of the most early evident scary parts. It's like deep fakes and,
yeah,
you know, mm-hmm. misinformation mm-hmm. And people impersonating it. I think I just read somewhere, I think it was Spotify broke up a bot circle. It was generated music with bots listening to it to rack up its score. So it was like, it wasn't even, didn't even have a human audience. So AI generated AI audience. All in one feedback loop.
Can we create a bot audience for us for this podcast?
Welcome our bot overlords. So I think that's not a bad idea at all. And I'm sure.
So I was just at a community event last week, Send Cal Dreamin' in Fresno, California. Shout out to Send Cal Dreamin'. Bitwise was the amazing partner who put it on. And there were a lot of discussions I had just one off with attendees about like AI and what it means for being a Salesforce professional and like how that is going to shift and change and maybe lower some barriers to entry for some certain aspects of what you can do and really kind of shift the type of work that you're doing, but also making it even more important, the expertise you bring in as a Salesforce professional to then work with this technology, because it takes like a different level of understanding how, what to ask for, how to guide it, how to review things. It was really interesting. I had like three different kind of in-depth conversations with different folks from various, like, you know, BA, developer, mm-hmm. executive, and just having those talks was really interesting to see where people's heads are at right now.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the big positives is that I think we're going to see us getting to a result faster because AI will help us just kind of jump to the end a little bit. I'm not talking to anybody right now who's thinking like, the humans are going to just go away. I think you hit on a really good point, though. If I have one suggestion to people right now, it's like go find a free account and start playing with this, because it is a kind of a different skill set and a little bit of a different mindset on how to input some things. And there's features that some people don't think about, like being able to, like, you could give ChatGPT your resume and it kind of knows what your, you know, background and what your style looks like, and you can kind of give it a starting point. So yeah, I think that's like, it's kind of like learning how to Google something really well. Like we've all slowly learned that skill like over the years because it's so like vital to getting anything done. I feel like it's going to be that. But so get into the pool early before it gets too crowded and just tinker around with it. And it's really kind of fun to play with. Bard also just went public, bard.google.com. Mm-hmm. That's another free way of doing it. I tried using Bard to cheat on Wordle over the weekend. And
how'd that work out?
Oh, it worked out great. Out of the four or five letter words it gave me, it included the four letter word that I gave it. So Bard has counting young problems.
It's learning.
It's
young.
It's learning, right? Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah.
Wow.
So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting.
I'll be the constant pessimist in the room. I think that the two things about this that worry me are, one, the critical thinking part of it. Like, we're using AI to, as a content creator, generate massive amounts of content. And then the flip side is, I read the post, I didn't just skim it, on ways to use AI. And it was, oh, well, you can use it to summarize content. And I'm thinking to myself, great. What? None of this is like taking it, all takes away from the ability for you to sit down, read, have critical thoughts about something, and actually then also just take the time to reflect on it, right? Like, that ability of sitting down and reading a book and thinking through the concepts and, you know, because everything right now is, if AI is generating the content, I can also have AI summarize the content, and now I basically know what you wrote. Kinda, but you didn't read it.
Right. Yeah. And I think that critical thinking is going to be an important role in it, right? Like, you ask it to generate something, but then, like, everything I've had it generate from a text point of view has been pretty bad. Like, there's, I have put a nothing that I would ever show to the public. Like, it's just like, no, this is not very good writing kind of thing.
No.
Yeah. So, so I feel like there's that still.
Yeah. I, Damon and I were going, he was emceeing a charity event on Saturday night. And I was like, okay, so let's just ask ChatGPT to write you some funny jokes to, like, say during your MC moment. And let me tell you, out of the like 20 jokes that I got back, there was maybe one that was somewhat passable. Like, there were some good puns. I appreciated some of the puns, but it was like, okay, I gave it the location. I gave it the type of charity it was. I gave, like, you know, some background, and like, it tried hard. It did. But like, it was, they were bad. They were so bad. And Damon at some point was like, okay, stop reading those to me. I don't want to hear it anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I've tried to see like what it would generate for like blog post. And actually I have a friend that wrote and is doing stuff for the University of Iowa, where he's helping, you know, college students understand, here's how you can use this in a constructive way, not in a way that's just ChatGPT creating your papers for you. It was very sterile, right? Like, it wrote a blog post. It was very sterile. There wasn't a lot of direction or storytelling to it. It was just very matter-of-factly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I asked Bard. So the song stuck in my head this last month. I don't know why. It's usually a Simon and Garfunkel song, and I blame my parents for that. This one is You Can Call Me Al, when, you know, Simon went solo. Also, despite Chevy Chase's behavior, one of the best music videos ever put together.
Agreed.
But anyway, there's a line in You Can Call Me Al. He doesn't speak the language and he holds no currency. And so I was like, I've always loved that phrase, because it's just like, it's such a great way of describing somebody who's like a stranger in a strange land. And so I asked Bard to write me a fantasy young, the first chapter of a fantasy story about a person who doesn't speak the language and holds no currency. And it wrote a story about a boy who has no money because currency has vanished from the planet, and he finds a spaceship with a box of coins in it, and it ends with him walking away with a coin.
Oh.
I'm like, you did not understand the exercise. You really focused on that one word to really kind currency. Of hinge the whole thing. Currency, yeah.
Wow. So this reminds me, if you want to go down a fun internet tunnel, look up the Flintstones and the Jetsons conspiracy theory.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. It's super fun, though, because there's a whole bunch of thought put into. So both came out in the I want to say early 60s, Hanna-Barbera, Warner Brothers. I like the Jetsons. I actually never became a Flintstones fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the Jetsons because of the mid-century modern architecture, which is really just cartoons. But anyway, there's a whole theory that one predates the other. And it's not the Flintstones. It's actually the Jetsons predates the Flintstones, because there was some sort of mega world collapse, because the Flintstones have the concept of work and currency. Uh-huh. And there's this, they go down and it's this, you end up after 2 hours reading and watching these YouTube videos being, yep, that's completely plausible. That totally makes sense now why the Flintstones had this and the idea of television and right. broadcast waves in theoretically a prehistoric time.
Right.
Fun.
Wow. People spend a lot of thought on some things that I yeah. never would
There's have There's people in the world that have time on their hands.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, and
maybe someday.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it.
Mike, there's also, I know I'm just going to call you out here because I know you've been working on a call for presentations for Dreamforce. Do you want to share with our lovely listeners a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So if you're listening to this before, I think it's June 6th. Make sure I get the calendar yeah. right in front of me. Be sure to get your call for presentations in for the admin track. At Dreamforce. So it's open now. It's open as you listen to this, as long as it's before early part of June. And it's kind of the same as last year. So there's two ways to submit. There's a submission, which is the traditional way. I have an idea. I want to talk about this product and thing that I built and build the presentation and get up on stage. And those are the ones that were reviewing to do all of the presentations for both the breakout sessions for Admin Track at Dreamforce and theater sessions at Admin Track. And of course, space is limited, so take time. You know, you don't have to submit 100. Submit 3 that you've really thought about and planned. Because I realize it's kind of like, I have a friend who has a couple kids that are, I believe it's in Boy Scouts, and they do these little Pinewood Derby things. Mm. And we spent some time, I spent some time helping that kid making that car as slick and fast as possible. And we showed up, we had a pretty polished car, and that thing went down the track. And then there were some people that showed up, and they literally just taped a quarter to their car. And that was it. And maybe that's all the time that they had.
Yeah.
We had more time. Our car won. And that's kind of how call for presentations work. You know, it's not about the number of cupcakes you show up with. It's about the quality of the cupcake.
Right.
Yeah. Josh can attest to that.
I can attest to this. I've seen it over the years. And it's like, if you give us 3 quality submissions, you are far more likely to get at least one of those accepted than if you give me 20 even decent ones. Like if you overwhelm me with information and I know like these are coming from the same person, it's just like you're just throwing spaghetti against the wall at that point. So yeah, take your time to choose the stuff that you're really passionate about and make a title and abstract that resembles that passion. And that's going to increase your chances by like a lot.
And also spend time in the Trailblazer community. Like look at what people are asking and talking about. Right. Because that's the trends that we follow. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have our own themes and directives that we have to, you know, abide by. But overall, we're kind of following that trend as well. And so if we see that and your submissions line up with that, you know, now there's no guarantee, but, you know, it's like applying for a job. I mean, there's how many 100 people are going to apply for a job? Well, only one person can get it. And it's kind of the same way with a CFP. How did that one person get it? Well, they're very persistent and on point and made sure stuff lined up. And also, there is a little bit of luck that goes with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, CFP. Well, I always like reading the submissions that come in. And I know that, you know, when I have been reviewing these in the past, if you, like to Josh's point, if you submit like 10, 15 sessions that are kind of like not really fledged out, it's annoying. So don't do that. Like, yeah. It also make our job hard.
Right, yeah, exactly.
It also, as a reviewer, I'll be honest, it makes us worry about the level of effort you're going to put into the session.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's usually the first question I ask is this a good quality submission? Like, did they actually think it out? Is it more than a 2-sentence long, you know, abstract? And if you put that level of work into what you're sending us, then exactly. Like, I'm hoping you're going to put that level of work into your presentation and into your stagecraft, because it is work. And also consider that before you, you know, don't, I get, you get a free ticket to Dreamforce. That's great. But also realize Mike's going to be calling you up and being like, hey, we need to, you know, see your slides. So we need to do your dry run. We need to get you successful on stage. So know what you're signing up for and think about the thing that you're going to get really excited about to talk about on stage.
Yeah. And you're willing to devote your summer to getting ready to talk about it on stage.
Mm-hmm. At least a decent portion of your summer.
Good portion. It's interesting. I'm following another community conference that's doing something very similar to what I have planned for managing speakers in admin track. And we'll see how that goes.
Gotcha.
Yes, but we'll include the link to the blog post so that you can submit or not submit in case you're on deadline. But looking ahead for June, anything in the works?
My life is pretty much going to be AI. So that's still like, you know, everybody wants content yesterday. So I think June's going to be a big month for that. The other half of AI that is data and data cloud. And so I'm probably going to start looking at that kind of as the next down the road, you know, topic kind of thing. But yeah, I think AI is going to be a big part of my life between now and Dreamforce.
I can understand that.
Yeah, I mean, Josh, you said Dreamforce. I feel like that's the thing that is rearing up for all of us. So yes. That's kind of what I'm thinking June is going to be like for me, is definitely lots of Dreamforce prep and getting things set up for all the cool, you know, the new innovations and also the great content we're going to bring to life at Dreamforce. Now is our time to get it all going. Mm-hmm.
So much. Yeah.
Oh, and London World Tour. I get to go to London World Tour, which will be lovely. So awesome. Any listeners over who are going to be at London World Tour, please come say hi to me. I'm really looking forward to being over there. I have not been to London since 2018.
So oh, wow. My God.
Very much looking forward to it. A whole pandemic.
Wow.
Yeah. Before kids. Yeah.
Dang. London is hands down one of my favorite cities to get lost in.
It 100%. And there's a new ruler over there that's you can. It's all king stuff now. It's no, right. No queen. I don't know. Yeah, I've got. So I guess I didn't talk about this, but June there will be another build a blog series coming out post, and we are going to talk about actual content creation. We are to that point. Mm. So this has been a fun series, and the last one came out May 16th. On finding a publishing platform. I'm guessing that's going to be the one that gets read the most, because that seems to be what everybody's, the major questions are. But the plan is to turn people, anybody that's aspiring to become a blogger, from zero to hero by Dreamforce. So I've got that going on. And then I'm also working on turning it into a presentation where, as it was announced on the Twitters, you can see me presented at Midwest Dreamin' in August.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Woohoo!
So you'll actually, time's out perfect, because there'll be an August post that should go live, which will be the last post before Dreamforce. So not that I had that planned or anything.
Nice.
Boom.
That's why awesome. Do I suddenly have an image of Luminati's in my head?
Midjourney.
I don't know. AI.
There's a hallucination joke in there somewhere, but I don't. It's on the tip of my tongue. I don't have it.
Yeah, I feel like so they did a along those lines. Cult film came out. I want to say in '99. Stranger Days, Juliette Lewis. I forget the other person that's in it.
Bradley Cooper, I think.
Bradley Cooper.
Okay.
Oh, good. All my Amazon is here. It's a really. It kind of slipped under the radar for a lot of people. I only remembered it because CBS Sunday Morning did a feature on Juliette Lewis, and they talked about that movie. But they have kind of this little like plastic tentacle thing that you can put on as a hat, and then you can basically experience things from someone else, and it's like a mind recorder. Mm-hmm. So when you said Illuminati in your head, I'm like, maybe you put on the little Strange Days thing.
Well, this was really fun, guys. Thank you, Mike, for organizing this, and thanks for hey Josh, I mean, gosh, this has been so fun. This is like the podcasters unite, so right. This is really cool. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna do this every month, so All right. End of the month. This is the episode to look forward to.
I like it. And our timing is perfect. I'm actually out of coffee.
So am I. On that note.
And on that note, I want to thank Mike and Jillian for the invite, the coffee, and the great conversation. And now that we're colleagues, we're going to be able to talk to each other a lot more. And I look forward to the next time that we get coffee. Don't you all worry. I am over on the admin relations team. The Salesforce Developer Podcast is not planning on going anywhere. And I will be continuing hosting it for a little while. We've got some plans in place that you'll hear more about later. But for now, if you want to learn more about this show, head on over to developer.salesforce.com/podcast, where you can hear old episodes, see the show notes, and have links to your favorite podcast service. Thanks again, everybody, and I'll talk to you next week.